All right, welcome everyone. Today I have with me Aaron Orendorf, who is the founder of Iconic Content, located in the tiny town of Klamath Falls, Oregon. You can see the Oregon hat right there. So Klamath Falls is right across the border from California into the great, beautiful state of Oregon. And so Aaron is one of the best outreach and content people that I know. This is actually our first time ever being on video together. We haven't met in person before, but we've been connected for a while now through a group that Sujan Patel put together that I'm sure many of you watching this know. And I'm constantly impressed by not only where he's writing, but what he's writing and how he really takes content and makes it alive and makes it pop. So I'm super happy to have you on here today. Aaron, thank you for taking the time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your business, and what you do?
You said a lot. That's excellent. I'm super pumped to be here. I just fortuitously wore my Oregon hat. So this is great. I love that.
Perfect.
Man, so I do two things right now. Number one, I'm a content marketer for Shopify Plus. Okay. So that's the enterprise arm of Shopify, meaning we work with the clients like Red Bull and the Budweiser's, the GEs, those sort of things. And then I also do a little bit on the side with Iconic Content. That's the site I run. That's how I got my start, doing freelance work. And mostly what I do there is I just feed my passions and write all over the interwebs, just the stuff I'm really loving these days. So those are the two parts of my world.
So I actually didn't know until just now that you are full-time employed by Shopify Plus.
Well, I'm a consultant because they're a Canadian company, and basically that's my main gig is Shopify Plus. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. My wife works for a company that they're a distributed tech company, and they have Canadian employees, so it works very similarly. So I understand. Yeah. I understand that. Cool. So tell me. So as we were talking about before we started recording, one of the things I'm constantly impressed with by you is, you know, all the places that you're publishing and the kind of stuff that you're putting out. You're one of the most prolific people that I know. I know some of Sujan's tricks and how he's so prolific. And so I'm curious for you, like, when you're going, either you're working for Shopify Plus or you have, you know, other clients, or you're doing stuff, you know, for yourself and kind of building your own name online, where do you start? Because as we were saying, like, you know, there's content, there's outreach, but both of those work together for you. So walk me through your process of like why you do what you do and how you do it.
Well, when it comes to prolificness, and that is actually, that's a question I'll get a lot on Twitter because I'm up all over the place. And some of that is just a matter of people just will notice me, and I've written a lot for a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that compounded interest thing that comes together. But really, the prolificness, the productivity, the efficiency comes from, I have a very strong commitment to two principles when I'm creating content. The first is to never treat a piece of content like it's one and done. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working on a piece, like for instance, with Shopify, right? I get this glorious assignment to write about B2B e-commerce, which is, of course, like the sexiest topic ever.
Yeah,
like, you know,
totally.
This is great.
Yeah.
But what I want to do with something like that is for a client, whether I'm freelancing or with them being a consultant, is try to get the most bang, the most runway I can out of any topic that I try to tackle. So in this sense, the whole like, not one and done. And then the second principle being content is not a single player sport. Mm. So I bring those two together. So what it looks like in practice is I'll write something sort of on my own-ish to kick things off, like sort of the cornerstone piece that's really targeting something like B2B e-commerce as a keyword. And we could talk about some other ones if you want, but this is just a good live recent
example.
I write that as like the cornerstone piece of content. So I'm looking to write something that's 25 to 3,000 words, like fairly large.
Yeah, it's extensive.
I really dig into the research. And as I'm digging into the research, I'm going through my own mental Rolodex, my Slack groups, my Twitter, my email, who have people I've worked with in the past that could add wisdom to this initial piece of cornerstone content. So for that one, what ended up happening was Neil Patel contributed to it. Michaela Alexis, who's a fantastic LinkedIn influencer, she gave her 2 cents to it. And I ended up getting a few other people along the way too, including some fantastic contributions from CEB, which is now Gartner. They wrote a book called The Challenger Customer, which is like the most mind-blowing book I've read on content in the last couple of years.
Wow, high praise.
I'm creating this original cornerstone piece of content. I'm pulling in folks along the way to big that up. Mm-hmm. And then I'm finding what is like the sticking point inside of this piece.
Interesting. Right?
What's the pain point? And when it came to that one, and this is actually a really good go-to for most people, what are the myths of B2B and especially the overlap between B2B and B2C? And then what's like the one must? Once you've dispelled the myth, what's the must?
Right.
So as I'm creating this one cornerstone piece of content, I've got on the back end, I want to do like a giant roundup type post. Okay. So the whole way through the research, I'm asking people for original contributions to this. Yep. I build a really simple Google form with the, you know, give me all the information plus just two questions. Yep. What's the myth? What's the must? And then I'm building on the back end this, what's going to turn into like 60 person contributed. This one, like I'm just about to launch on Friday, over 6,000 words.
Wow.
Phenomenal who's who of people.
Yeah.
Massive. But all of this has taken place over about a period of 3 to 4 weeks. And in between those two, I also realize when I'm doing all this research, I'm collecting a whole bunch of data. And data is really tough to communicate in words. So in between those two, I build an infographic with another 1,000 word piece to sort of bridge the two.
Sure.
So I'm doing one project, but that's turning into like over 10,000 words, 6,000 of which I'm not writing, I'm just editing.
Right.
1,000 of which is visually represented, and I'm getting help from people to actually build the infographic, not inside Shopify either. That was another like contributor kind of thing where I partnered with the people at Vengage to get them to do a lot of the heavy lifting on that. So those are those two principles.
So you're taking – so for that infographic, you're what data are you taking and putting there?
So I've got like these 9 trends in the first one.
Okay.
And then the second one is like SEO focused on B2B advantages.
Gotcha.
And so that's all data driven of what's the market size of B2B. Mm-hmm. Let's visually represent that. Let's contrast that visually to B2C.
Right.
What are the overlaps between B2B and B2C, that's one point with visuals, then another point would be, right? And then we're trying to quantify everything. How do people like to communicate? 60% on Twitter, 80% on email.
Sure.
All of these numbers that I'm collecting in the first one. And
so this
sort
is
of
this data that you're getting from all over the internet that adds value to this first cornerstone piece that you've done, and then taking that, obviously citing your sources, but putting it in a new way, wrapping it up, and then they're obviously going to share it. It dovetails with the first piece that you did and then goes into the big roundup post that you're doing.
And then here's the really crazy, wonderful part.
Beautiful. Yeah.
That's 3 pieces so far.
Right.
And then I also add an extra optional question in the Google form of like any great examples of B2B e-commerce or wholesale e-commerce I should check out.
Brilliant.
That is going to turn into an examples article that I author, but I'm getting input from, you know, those 60 people, and maybe like 1 out of every 3 or 5 gives me an example.
Sure.
So it's all about economy of effort. And that whole not a single player sport. So that when each one of these pieces launch, right, I've got this like sort of army of contributors and promoters that are willing to do it for me.
Sure.
And like the really wonderful thing was, so like that first one goes up. I've got Neil Patel in it. NeilPatel.com does an article. He features me in it with a backlink to that first piece. Plus he's in the next piece. So we're building like SEO value.
Right.
It's this – that's why those two principles are so important. Not one and done. And not a single player sport.
Not one and done, not a single player sport. That absolutely, absolutely makes sense. How did you come up with those two?
I learned, you know, Andy Crescendina.
Yeah.
If you know who Andy.
So smart.
Like ridiculous, right? Like I'm almost sure I've stolen almost every smart thing I know from Andy Crescendina.
Yep.
I'm like almost dead serious. No, because he's just man, I connected with that dude about 2 years ago through Slack. He's the most giving, generous guy.
Totally.
And so he would ask for contributions. I would see what he was doing. He does original data through surveys and things like that that are just like
I just
SEO.
Got one today.
Gold.
Gold. Yeah.
And so I saw him doing that all throughout. Like he would never write a piece himself, and he would never write a piece and then just like set it aside. And I saw him doing that, and I saw other people that I pick up kind of tips along the way. Plus, I'm just like, I'm ridiculously enthusiastic. I like meeting people, especially online. And so hopefully that's a little bit of contagiousness, and that rubs off. And so people, I get them pumped up because I'm pumped up about it.
Totally. No, that's awesome. So it's funny now that you say it, because I've definitely, now that you're telling me those two tricks, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly like what you do and a bunch of other people that I know do. And you're the one that you guys are the ones I see like everywhere. Absolutely, absolutely everywhere. So let's take a step back because you're talking about like you got assigned this piece on like B2B SEO or B2B content, right? And so now you've taken into like, a huge piece about B2B content. And so you're talking about like the content side, the SEO side, like all these different things. And then you kind of take it and create a bunch of pieces about it, which is really smart. You can kind of find that and rinse and repeat per topic. But what bigger strategy is that playing into, right? Because like I could go and do something like that, do a bunch of pieces around outreach, for example, right? But like what's the bigger goal of doing that, and how did you kind of put together that this sort of strategy that you're just kind of like micro strategy you're talking about here within the big, like, what's the bigger strategy there that you're working towards? Because this all has to map back to the business goals.
Yeah, and so and with something like with Shopify Plus, like all of this grows out of the fact that they've launched a wholesale channel.
Okay.
So they've really got on their back end a phenomenal multi-channel system to
Yep.
list products on things like Facebook natively. They've got a BuzzFeed integration. They've got on Pinterest. They're coming out with
Wow.
Instagram. So it's like there's this
Wow.
e-commerce,
Yeah.
multi-channel, and then one of those channels is wholesale. And you've got to talk about B2B if you're going to talk about wholesale.
Sure.
So all of this is to then, it goes down and
Yep.
then back up. And
Right.
so what I'm trying to do with every piece of content as well is number one, dominate SEO. So
Yep.
that I can be like, my goal with all of this is when someone enters B2B e-commerce, I want within a month and a half or so to be
Yeah.
like, bam, like maybe multiple pieces on the
Sure,
first page.
sure.
So I want that traffic.
Shopify.com and guest posts and all this stuff. Yep.
I want to dominate those search results. And
Yep.
then inside each one of those pieces, there's these really natural connection points to say, if you're wondering about how to do multi-channel, if you're curious, wholesale doesn't have to be hard, those kind of things, and just
Yep.
create these little call-out boxes throughout that are almost like upgrades, but more intentional contact sales kind of stuff. So
Sure,
it
sure. A
does
little
direct
bit
you right
harder
into
of
the
a sell as opposed to
exactly a
like
little
give
bit.
us your email and then we put you into a drip and then eventually do the harder sell.
Yeah, and this
Yeah.
one is far more because it's playing at that enterprise level.
Right.
Just going right after, if we can get them into the funnel, then that's where the personal touch takes over. But
Sure.
it starts with that whole, I mean, the cornerstone of content marketing being I add value first. I make them go, huh, I didn't realize I was doing that wrong. Or, oh my gosh, that is a really good, it can be that simple.
Yep.
That's how you, oh, and I add value first, and then they come on in. Right. So
Totally.
that's the go back up the channel.
Totally, totally. And so when you talk about dominating that space, I mean, you're basically talking about traditional SEO keyword research there, right? Where you're like, these are the terms that we need to target, by search volume and cost per click, so you know how valuable they potentially are. And then you don't want to go, you're a content marketer, you're not a paid acquisition specialist. So, you're like, how can I write like the best piece of content on this topic, and then use basically the people that, as you said, with Neil Patel example, using the people that contributed to it, they're happy to link to it, they're happy to push it for you as well. And so you just very
It's that
quickly.
whole interrelated,
Yeah.
interlocking. Yeah, don't make it harder on yourself than needs to be, both in
Totally.
creation as well as in promotion and SEO, because those can all come together if you build it
Right.
throughout the process.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. So where did you start with content? I mean, you said you got your like iconic content. It was kind of your start getting going. What t Give me some of the hard learned lessons along the way. Like, it seems like you have it pretty dialed in now. Obviously, there's always stuff that's broken, and it's very easy to look at someone, like yourself that you're everywhere. People look at me like for SEO and they're like, oh, everything's figured out. And I'm like, man, if you saw under the hood, like everything feels like it's broken all the time. But like, what are some of the lessons that you've learned along the way? Like hard fought, like where are the scars?
So when I started, this was about 3.5, 4 years
Is that
ago.
it?
I mean, yeah, I mean,
Wow.
and at zero, like,
Hmm.
I mean, launching a Wix site, which was the
Yeah.
first like
I
big, yeah, that was the
love
first
it.
scar.
I love it.
I literally like cobbled together these
Yeah.
pages to try to make it look like a blog, and then finally left Wix behind. And maybe they're better now. I'm not trying to throw shade on them,
Don't
but
get they are,
and
but yeah.
Okay, I went from there to Squarespace to finally like had enough money to get a WordPress site and that kind of thing. So the real big like breakthrough for me came in the guest posting realm, because I had that logo envy, because I was a nobody. I didn't have any clients kind of thing. And I'd go to other people's sites and I'd see those beautiful logos of like, oh, they wrote for Forbes and Entrepreneur and Business Insider and these kind of. So about a year into it, I just started going after those. And for me, that was the real breakthrough, because I realized like I can write a tailored piece of content for those big name sites without a name myself. Right. And if it's tailored for them, meaning like I got the right word count, I know how they do images, I know how they do links, I've shown love to the topics that are really popular on their site. And I'm not pitching the editors. I'm just saying, here's a completed piece. That's just for you.
Right.
And I would just do that through cold email. And I had a ton of success when I let that speak for me, rather than trying to say, like, I've written for these people, I've worked with these people, here's some ideas, here's some headlines.
Yeah.
Nah, just like super short, hand it over.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get rejected?
Oh, have we talked about this?
No, we have not talked about this.
Oh, my gosh.
No, 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 but here you go. Cue it up.
My motto, what I love hashtagging, is let's get rejected. That's my jam. No,
So if I search that on Twitter, it's like all you and people like sharing their war stories with you.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
Let's get rejected. Because that was what I armed myself with when I was trying to get a name and I didn't have a name and nobody knew who I was. Every time I would click send, I would up my rates. I would pitch a client, like whatever it was. That's what I would tell myself internally. Let's get rejected.
No way.
Because I wanted to be the kind of person that did stuff, that went out there, that didn't let the fear hold me back. So I made that the goal. And I just made it like I'm going to wear those scars. You know, and it still happens. I mean, it still happens a ton.
Sure.
Like I've got this beautiful piece that I'm like, so what I write about now off of like Shopify and like just onesie twosie clients here and there, but mostly off of Shopify is what am I passionate about?
Yeah.
And so I love writing about counterintuitive things. So I've got this baby of a post that I just have been like growing for the last like 6 months.
Yeah.
And dude, I've got Mark Cuban original content in there. Oh my gosh. Nobel Prize winner gave it to me. Ryan Holiday contributed to it. Lewis Howes is in there.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like all these people, and everybody's rejected it so far. Dude, I've gotten I've gotten no response from Harvard Business Review. The New York Times took a look at it and they were like, we don't think so. But I know it's something. Forbes has turned it down.
Wow.
I don't know what
Forbes
I'm gonna do with
this. Wow.
It's been brutal.
Yeah.
But I love it. It's a good article. And once in a while, I get one of these pieces where I just know it's something, and so I'm gonna hold on to it, and it's gonna find a home. But it's a lot of rejection along the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what do you? I mean, do you put together a list and say like, this is what I've written about, and this is who I think it's like gonna be best for, and basically like, obviously you write it with like one person in mind or one publication in mind, but like, you know, New York Times rejects you. All right, Forbes. Like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, I think about it like. Because today I have the flexibility to write about what I'm passionate about on my own time. Mm-hmm. Before, it was just like grind. Like I will cater to you. Mm-hmm. And if you're starting out like just – and you're trying to get like onto places or backlinks, that kind of thing, cater. Like don't sell out.
Nope.
But get pretty close. Get pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
So now what I do is I basically got a list of like, okay, I really want to get on Harvard Business Review. I really want to get on New York Times. I really want to get on Forbes. So I know those are the three that I go through when I got something special.
Yep.
And I'm just getting rejected, rejected, rejected. Okay, I'm probably going to take it over to Fast Company because they're really tough.
Yep.
I'm probably going to take it to Business Insider because they're really tough. And then I've got some other ones that I know I can like fall back to that I've got really good editorial relationships at that let me get away with murder when it comes to word count. Like, like Mashable – those people are amazing. They let me post like 2,000, 1,500 word articles there. And they end up doing really well. And so that's sort of why they give me that leeway.
Yep.
But I'm almost like running it through this list of like really, really, really hard.
Yep.
And then I know I've got these ones I can go back to and it'll still do well on.
Do you ever ask so you said you got rejected by the New York Times. Was that a hard rejection or is that like they never got back to you?
That was an actual – I had a friend who knew someone there.
Okay.
They connected me. They looked at it. And it's just, you know, their editorial stance, like it is what it is.
Totally,
like,
totally.
It's, no joke, and it's probably going to take some time and some
But
cred to
did
build
you
up.
ask him like, okay, you know, what could I do in the future, you know, to like, you know, to have it fit better? Do you do that or no?
I don't.
Okay.
And I may, if I'm pitching somebody a second or a third time and they're responsive, but I never want to give an editor a bad taste in their mouth about me.
Totally, totally.
Or even like passive aggressive guilt,
Yeah, no, that's no good.
that kind of thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's like they're gonna tell me if it's good or it's not. And what I've learned is that a lot of times it's about is it the right fit and is it the right time? And that's really
Totally.
all it comes down to. And did
Yeah.
they wake up on the right side of bed? Like, there's all these things I
Fair.
can't control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Have they had coffee today? You
Yeah.
know,
Did I email too
did their
early?
dog poop in the house? Like, yeah, totally.
It's so that case. Yeah.
Yeah, hilarious. That's funny. But that's also really smart. I mean, I like the approach that you're taking to content because it's not about like, so me coming from the, like you come at it from the content side, from the relationship side, from the you know, that sort of thing, and you're a very, you know, friendly guy. You know, and you're just like kind of you have a contagious energy to you. I come from the SEO world, right? Where it's all about like, how do you game the search engine so that you can do something and then like, oh, that like little hack stopped working and so now you have to like try this other thing, right? Like that's what the SEO world has been for a long time, and I think it's really changed in the last 3 to 4 years, but you take a very different approach to it where you're coming at it from like, so people SEOs think about like, oh, like I want a backlink, which I hate the word. I want a link from NewYorkTimes.com, right? The only people that use the term backlink are people like spamming you for like quote unquote SEO services that don't work, in my opinion.
I hear you.
Right? But like SEOs will be like, oh man, my competitor has a link from the New York Times. So like I want a link from the New York Times. And then, you know, and then they approach it completely wrong versus you're going at it from the like, you're not even, I mean, obviously you brought up SEO. I didn't even bring up SEO, right? Like you brought it up and you obviously care about that, but like if you got a piece on the New York Times and they didn't like link to you or something like that, you would still promote the hell out of it,
Oh
right?
yeah.
And you wouldn't
Yeah.
go back and be like, hey, can you give me credit for that? Like, you know, for just like, I just need a link credit to my, you know, to my site, iconiccontent.com or to, you know, shopify.com/plus or whatever the URL is. Instead, you're like, man, like this is freaking awesome. Like, thank you so much for the opportunity here. Like, you know, this thing is gonna blow up, right? So then like in the future, then you're being, you know, eventually you build that relationship more and more and they're like, oh yeah, I'm writing a piece or like this company just did this huge content marketing thing. Who do I know that does con I need to talk to Aaron, right? And then it spitballs. So it's all about that relationship. Like
It really
team
is. It that
sport,
re
outreach, all that. It's all about that relationship.
And because you can't overstate that. I mean, now
Yeah.
listen, I am not above low-hanging fruit. If someone mentions me
Absolutely
and it's
not.
the right place, I'll make it as easy as I possibly can on them. Right. So I'll take a screenshot of where it is. I'm like, hey, you actually mentioned the article. It'd be fantastic if you could. And sometimes I'll even go so far as to like, I suck at HTML, so I use HTML dash cleaner all the time. And I enter my stuff in there and I highlight and I add
But
the
you'll
link.
send them the code.
It, and,
Totally.
and I just
Yep.
like, it'd be
Yep.
cool if you could do this, like, you know,
Yep.
that sort of thing. I'm not
Yep.
above that,
Super
but I'm
chill
not going
about
to
it.
go there first.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you also do it for the right people. Like you're not going to do it to, I don't know, someone at the New York Times, even if you've
Yo.
known them for a while, you're not doing that. Like you just, it's a no-no. But if it's like HubSpot or something like that, and you've known the person for a long time and like they get it and they want to give credit anyways, then they're like, they're going to be super cool about it. You
Yep.
know?
I literally just did it today.
Love it.
I had this great infographic go up on Mashable about a week and a half ago on influencer marketing.
Okay.
And I wrote the article. I helped the people who made the infographic put it together. And it's freaking beautiful. It's this guy, Brian Wallace, who runs Now Sourcing. And
Okay, I've heard the name.
he's a legit infographic artist. So it's
Yeah.
one of those opportunities. He came to me. We've known each other through Facebook and some groups.
So good.
Built this. It's above and beyond the
Yeah.
regular infographic
Yeah,
stuff, like
yeah.
real artistry.
Yeah.
And so now that thing's getting picked up left and right. And one of the places it got picked up was Inc. And all I did was when I saw it go up on Inc., I said a big thank you to the guy that did it. I sent him an email and was like, thanks. If it's not too much trouble, at the very end, if you could just add you know, the Mashable link, my editor would be really happy. Mm-hmm. And he gets back and he's like, yep, yeah, that's cool. But that's the thing, right? Love I'm not it. Asking for like a Mashable link and, oh, also link
right.
to Aaron.
You phrase that too, right? You're like, my editor would be really happy, right? It's not like you trying to get it. It's like, you're kind yeah. of passing the blame there, right? Like,
yep.
you know?
Like, absolutely.
My PR yeah. consultant would love it, right?
yeah, my editor's like, super
happy.
I didn't
want to do it, but like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, but he would love it if, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and they're like, can't really blame the guy, so sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. But did you have, so you didn't, in that case, I mean, ink is tough to get on, can be tough to get on. What, you didn't have a relationship with that person before that posted the infographic?
I didn't, but the nice thing was it all came through social.
Okay.
And so I got a friend who was tweeting back and forth with this guy, and he actually tagged me okay. in one of the tweets. And so it was kind of – it was this supernatural like –
yeah, I love that. That's how it should yeah. be. Yeah. That's how I've gotten some of my better things is like I see friends. You know, like one of my good friends in New York is friends with Sean Blanda, who's the editor-in-chief of Growth Lab. Owned by I Will Teach You Be Rich, Ramit Sethi, right? So I got a post on there because, you know, Sean's just a great dude. And he's good friends with one of my best friends in the world, Tom Critchlow, who hired me at Distilled in 2011, you know, and lives in Brooklyn. They play ball together and they're both in the content world, like the publishing world. Like that's how it works best. It's like, once again, going back to relationships, it's like you surround yourself with good people. And those good people surround themselves with good people, and then you just meet like more good people is basically the way it is.
And it's that strategy of – so on the tactical side,
yeah,
the biggest thing I would pass on to people is one ask per communication.
Yep.
So when I email that guy from Inc., that's it. I'm not pitching him anything else. I'm not asking for anything else. It's one ask per communication. That's the tactical thing where people get out in front of themselves. And that's why the whole thing of like when I send an article to an editor, that's it. I wrote this piece for you. What do you think? One ask. Not a multiple choice. Here's a bunch of things I put together. Sure. Not like a bunch of headlines. No. Yeah. On the strategy side, it's so much about give.
Yep.
Then something when it naturally comes up.
Right.
Like I was sucking up to this New York Times editor. I will tell you. A friend of mine was like, here's the guy. Yeah. This is the guy I'm going to introduce you to.
Yeah.
And like 2 weeks before I got that introduction, I was tweeting his stuff. I was hitting up friends on Facebook Messenger. Like, dude, I'm trying to suck up to this guy.
Yeah. Can you tweet this thing?
Exactly. I'm just going nuts. Yeah. And so, it never is at so-and-so, hey, I pitched you something. It's just as much love as I can throw at them.
Totally.
And I'm going to keep doing it.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're not just doing it to get published. You're doing it because they're writing good stuff legitimately. And you want to be their friend, like
as good.
Want to be their friend. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Nice. I love it. So one more tactical thing, or maybe the strategic, I don't really know. If you write a piece for Entrepreneur, right? Which I think you can just publish there, but like I'm getting my first piece there pretty soon. I'm super jazzed about it. But nice. Like, say you write a piece and I wrote it just for Entrepreneur and then we pitched it, you know, to them. And so that's how it's, you know, getting up there. So I followed your advice without even knowing your advice. But like, say you write a piece for Fast Company, right? And they come back and they're like, not quite right, you know, not quite what we're looking for right now. Or like, oh, we were talking about this 3 months ago and it's not really going to like catch fire now. What do you do with that piece? You don't just let it sit there.
No. So this is a good example of my very first piece that ever went up on Mashable was on this app that Dan Arelli.
Yeah,
I believe is how you say it. Yeah, he and I worked on together, and we had an infographic build for it on this behavioral economics influenced, you know, psychology influenced app to help people save money.
Yep.
And so that was one where I was like, oh my gosh, Dan Arelli, he's a legit academic. He's got some bestsellers. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm gonna take this over to Wired. No, it's too long. I'm gonna take it over to Harvard Business Review. Oh my gosh, it's so close, but we don't really write about apps. All right. Take it over to Business Insider. It's too long. I take it to Fast Company. It's too long. And then it finally goes over to Mashable. That ends up being my first piece. And like the next week, the editor of Mashable emails me with a screenshot.
Which is crazy because normally they write super short stuff. So the fact that they didn't reject it for being too long is interesting, but it was the right topic.
It was. Yeah. It was that. Yeah. It was that.
They read about humanity. Apps and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Meets apps. And it kind of came together.
Yep.
And it just so happened that the next week he emails me and he's like, dude, I've never seen like an 11 and a half minute read time on an article.
Wow.
Like I've never, and so that was like, that door's open now.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
That's why they
yeah.
let me get away with writing long content
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
because you overdeliver every single time.
Every time I would send off that article,
yep.
The main thing I would do is I would go through it. And when I first sent it to Wired, I found articles that Wired had written on behavioral economics and apps on change. Mm-hmm. And I used those. Sometimes it's just a link, a cross link, or it's a quote to the other thing.
Yep.
And then when they say no, I do the same thing in Business Insider. I find articles on there. And so all I'm really doing each time is swapping out the links in a few of the citations.
Sure.
That's how you show love.
Right.
So that it's for them.
Right. Right. Interesting. No, that really makes sense. Cause it's not like, I mean, once again, going back to the nothing is one and done, even like first draft, first publication, if they, you know, reject it, it's not done, right? Like you're moving on to the next one and still tailoring it to them.
And it gets another piece of shine because I just can't help myself. Like someone says no and it comes back to me. Or like even if someone's like, we'll publish that in 2 weeks, I just can't help myself. I'll still mess with it and make it like a little bit better and then send it off again. So each time it gets a little bit polishy.
Sure.
And really with that polish,
it's like a talk.
It's about less. It's not about adding more. Mm-hmm. It's about taking out.
You're refining your ideas. You're getting down to that core idea. So it might start as a 3,000 word piece, but by the end of the day, it's down to 1,800 words. And that sucker is just so tight that like, people aren't going to be like, oh my God, is this guy done like talking yet? You know, they're actually like, whoa, it like sucks them down in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's getting a little bit better each time. And I'm just changing out the citation and the links.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. That idea hadn't even crossed my mind before. So that is really, really smart. So one thing that I come across a lot in my work with Credo is I get a lot of like marketing managers that, you know, they're like, I work for this old, like, you know, B2B company and it's owned by this, like, you know, dude who's 60 years old and doesn't understand, like, you know, the internet at all. And I'm really trying to get they basically say like they're bought into content and like they believe that content can really like move the needle for their business, thinking long term, but they're really struggling to get that like going internally because of, you know, basically what their boss or like the owner is saying, like, why would we, you know, spend $2,000 a month on content if we're not going to see anything for 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
What would be your advice to them?
To someone who's like working internally in that sort of setting?
Yeah. Working internally in that sort of setting.
The endorphins of traffic and shares are so seductive and you can use that to your advantage.
Okay.
So that even if it's just a simple thing of like making sure, and this is silly to have to say, but you do have to say it, making sure Google Analytics is set up correctly, that you can do content drill downs to separate something like the blog from the main content, from the AdWords stuff that they might be running anyway.
Yeah.
So as long, making sure that's set up correctly.
Yeah.
And then even using something like BuzzSumo to track social shares, or even the, you know, SumAll to track them on page.
Yeah.
What I've seen happen is you don't actually have to connect it to the bottom line immediately.
Yeah.
You just got to give them a taste of those endorphins.
Yeah.
To give them something where they can see, there's this spike in traffic. There's this spike in shares. That's vanity. That won't sustain you over the long term. But if you're looking to get buy-in, that's where especially doing something like bringing together, you know, experts on a topic, getting them to share it, and then optimizing it for SEO so that they link to it and you get that initial boost.
Right.
It's very addictive. And you can use that like manipulatively to give them that taste, that initial win that maybe you have to go out on a limb to do yourself.
Sure.
Maybe you got to invest in it after hours, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But once people get that taste, then you can string them along until the bottom line stuff kicks in. And it better kick in or else it'll peter out.
Totally.
So like, I'll give you this for example, property management software. I had a client even better looking than B2B e-commerce, right?
Yeah. Right.
Property management software.
I used to work in rentals and man, good times.
I use the exact same principles that I use for social media tools, that I use for B2B e-commerce, that I use for anything that eventually ends up ranking or doing really well on social with property management software. I put together I come in cold with this client, put together my dream list with them of who are the big movers and shakers in property, in real estate, in investing online. let's do a giant like 30 to 50 person email outreach. I used Mailshake, Sujan Patel's app. Use Mailshake. Do a little bit of tracking people down on social, on LinkedIn, try to get their email addresses. There's great tools you can use to.
Hunter.io is a fantastic one.
And send out 30 to 50 of these emails, end up getting like 25, 20 people writing back.
Awesome.
Put together basically a roundup post of what's the number one red flag you should look for in this industry and what's the number one must. No product recommendations. There are, they sell a product. No product recommendations. It's just content. And we get all these people in it. We put their faces in it. We make them look pretty. We keep it, you know, supplier agnostic, solution agnostic. They all end up sharing it. And then that's how it catches fire for them. And they're like, then their boss is freaking into it.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So then, so, so after you publish that piece of content, then you go and do outreach to them again, right? And basically say like, hey, you know, this piece went live, would love a, you know, would love a share. If you have a newsletter, would love if you'd share it. Like what are your, What do you do?
Okay. So, now if someone's actually contributed, I'll be a little more like blatant about it and be like, hey, it just went live. Here's a click to tweet link.
Sure.
So I make it super easy for them. With them in it. So it's tailored to them. If I include somebody and I'm strategically including them like a quote and, but I want them to share it. I learned this from John Butt, who also has a podcast. The guy is, this is the best thing ever. I email them or I get, hit them up on social and I say, hey, I just featured you in blank. Is that the right link? So they go to it and they check it.
Or I'll say something like, you're like linking to their site or whatever.
If I'm linking to their site, or I'll be like, hey, I included a quote from your book in, you know, my latest Shopify post. I linked to Amazon, but is there a better link I should include?
Oh, wow. So smart.
Like they're bought in. You're not like telling them basically, hey, I used you. Would you please share it?
Right, right. It's not transactional.
It's not transactional. It's a question that they actually, it's like an open loop in their mind that they want to, okay, did I include the right link in the piece?
Right.
They'll actually go and then they're gone there. And if they do want a different link, I can actually change it. Sure. If not, I've had such good responses from that, that like start new relationships because it opens with, hey, did I include the right link in that article?
Wow.
It's crazy.
No, that's brilliant. And that's the sort of thing that even like someone that's super hard to get, you know, to get a hold of, they're going to be like, I mean, they want to get it right too, right? Like they're hard to get a hold of for a reason because they like focus on the quality and then they're, and then you're kind of like in their mind, you know, in the future. And you open up that doorway for a relationship.
And it's such this sneaky, like, I'm going to crawl inside your head because I ask you this question and you're wondering if it's right. Your name's out there somewhere in the world. I got to go look. Right. John's, it was amazing. I love that.
No, that's insanely, insanely smart. I am 100% going to steal that from you.
Do it. I stole it from him.
Nice, nice. I love it. Yeah, everything comes back to Andy. That's great.
Oh, no, this was John Butt.
Oh, just John Butt. Credit sorry, credit. Sorry. Yeah, John Butt. Okay, cool.
John Butt.
Cool. So smart. So I want to be cognizant of your time, respectful of your time. Thank you for sharing. I mean, this knowledge has been absolutely incredible. I've learned a ton. I've taken a bunch of notes on it. So where can people find you online? And you know, what should people contact you about?
You can find me if you Google Aaron, O-R-E-N. I'm pretty sure I autocomplete at the end.
I'm checking it
so
right now.
So Aaron, check it right now. See if autocompletes at the end to Orendorf. Okay. Kind of a hard name to spell, but A-A-R-O-N-O-R-E-N. And then, yeah, Aaron Orendorf.
It rolls off the tongue. I like it. Aaron Orendorf.
It's kind of a smooth,
So
I'm if you go to AaronOrendorf.com, if you Google Aaron Orendorf, that'll send you to iconiccontent.com. You can find me Iconic Content on the Twitters. I'm Aaron Orendorf on Facebook. There's not too many of us out there. I'm pretty easy to track down thanks to my lineage.